الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Can I ask the brothers who want to talk in the masjid please to leave the masjid. میں مسجد میں زیادہ بات نہ ہو. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, in the last session of درس حدیث I had explained the brief biography of Hazrat Musa al-Ashari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a senior sahabi, companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these companions are known as Rijalullah, men of Allah, men who are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The appointed arbitrator to Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an and those that were with Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. And then we have Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an, another sahabi who is very closely related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also a man appointed by Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And so after the ceasefire, after the battle of Siffin, the two companions were appointed from both the sides to come to some kind of a resolve and to be arbitrators of this difficult situation of what to do. Now in the last session I did explain the virtue of Hazrat Musa al-Ashari radiyallahu ta'ala an. The reason for that is if you were to pick up any book, you'll find many of the historians, even from unfortunately like-minded Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, perhaps have not written appropriately with regards to the status of Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. Many of the very weak narrations you'll find even from people like Al-Waqidi and the chain of narrations which are rejected have crept into the books of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. And so we have to be extremely careful when we talk about Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in. These are incredible individuals and most beloved to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why at every point I have made sure that whenever we mention the name of any Sahabi, a brief biography, seerah of that Sahabi has been mentioned, so that we have that love for every companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so in the last session, Hazrat Musa al-Ashari radiyallahu ta'ala and his character and his life was explained, his relationship to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our session tonight, we look into the life of Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala. Who was this charismatic young individual? Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an was late to embrace Islam. Scholars have mentioned that in the year 8 Hijri, he embraced Islam just before Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. And in fact, scholars have mentioned that he accepted Islam not in Makkah Mukarramah, not in Madinatul Munawwara, but in Abyssinia. And thereafter he has been all the time in the close company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He himself has mentioned his conversion, how he reverted to Islam. Many a times you'll find that whenever you meet someone who is a new Muslim, and the born Muslims are all excited, and they will say to them, "Bhai, how did you embrace Islam? What led you to Islam?" And so many people were speaking to Amr ibn al-As. Amr ibn al-As is a powerful individual, a man highly ranked. In fact, Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an's bravery, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say that in fighting and in combat, no one could equal Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala an and Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an. These are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in combat no one could equal Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala an and Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an. And so there is this fascinating story as to how this man embraced Islam. He says that after the Battle of the Trench, the situation in the Arabian Peninsula was very different. Many tribes were now embracing Islam, meeting Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Groups, communities, tribes, individuals, families would come, and all of them would do bay'ah at the hands of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reverting to Islam. And so Islam was moving at a rapid pace in the Arabian Peninsula, and there was this fear that a time will come that even Makkah Mukarramah would fall to the Muslims. And so what Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala and said to the elite that were there, his friends, he says, "Let me make a proposal to you. We see that Islam is sweeping through the Arabian Peninsula. What will happen tomorrow in Makkah Mukarramah, we don't know." And so he said, "My proposal is that let us go to Negus, the king of Abyssinia, a good man. And this man had opened up his borders to all the foreigners. Anyone who came to Abyssinia and wanted refuge, this man would never say no. He was a good man, a man of good character." So he said, "Let us go to Abyssinia under the wing of Negus, this leader of Abyssinia, and let us wait. If the Muslims prevail and conquer Makkah Mukarramah, then it is better for us to be under the wing of Negus rather than to be under, aliyazu billah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if the Quraysh of Makkah and the elite of Makkah Mukarramah keep a stronghold and continue taking control of Makkah Mukarramah, then we can return any time. That is our city, we belong to the city of Makkah." And so all of them said that, "Amr ibn al-As, your mashwara is khair. What you have said is right. And so let us go to Abyssinia." Now these were clever individuals. So a group of people who went took a lot of gifts, and especially leather. Leather was something like a very lucrative commodity in Abyssinia. And so this was welcomed by the Abyssinians. And so they took a lot of leather to Abyssinia and said, "We will give this personally as a gift to Negus. And we will stay there and see what is happening. We'll monitor the situation." And so all of them, a group of people, went to Abyssinia to meet Negus. Again, just from one masla, which is very, very important. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, give gifts and give hadiyah with the right intention, and that will only instill love in your hearts. That will only instill love in your hearts. If your wife is rebellious to you and she doesn't listen to you and she's raised her hands to you, then buy her some flowers. and try doing this and give her a gift. And slowly you will melt her heart. Slowly you will melt her heart. So you can even do that. And mashallah, that is a general case. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that give gifts, tahabbu, and you will love one another. You will love one another. And so this is also a sunnah. And the reason why I mention this is that we need to make amal on every sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Once upon a time, mashallah, the Tabligh Jamaat people, Hafiz Sulaiman, I'm sure you'll know this, that whenever a Jamaat would come to the different localities, they would always carry a miswak and itar. Always, miswak and itar. Sayyidina Marusa, all the time. And they would give miswak and itar to the Imam or anybody in the locality. Mashallah, this would only open up sort of that love, that barrier would be removed. And so no matter how small, giving a gift is a great sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is why when we look into the story of Bilqis and Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, what did she do? She wanted to fight this strong army of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Quran says that she came with gifts, a lot of gifts. And she presented all that to Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And so one way to really, mashallah, strengthen your relationship with sincerity to give something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mashallah, that is also the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Many of the companions would come to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, to Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, to Hazrat Usman radiyallahu ta'ala an, and say, this is a hadiyah to you, and this is a hadiyah to you. And so one should not frown at this beautiful sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If somebody gives hadiyah to someone, mashallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give barakah and increase that, because that is also the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you can't actually give any kind of hadiyah, then one hadiyah is also salam, afshu salam. So your salamu alaykum, ya assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, is also your hadiyah. So when you come to your house, mashallah, open the doors, the first thing you do is give your hadiyah, which is your salam. This is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khair, Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an was a clever man. A lot of leather was collected, and this was to be presented to this man, Negus, the leader of Abyssinia. And when they got to Abyssinia, what would happen is that every foreigner that would come would have to first meet Negus. And Negus would then meet them, and they would explain their situation, why they have come here, what is the reason, what they want to do. And in the end, this man would give permission. And so an appointment was given to Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an to meet Negus. Now he was not a Muslim at that time, Amr ibn al-As. Now before his meeting with Negus, it so happened that there was another man already in the company of this king, King Negus, whose name was Amr ibn Umayyah al-Damiri. Amr ibn Umayyah al-Damiri. Now Amr ibn Umayyah al-Damiri was a Muslim, and he was a messenger of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sent by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to meet Negus and to inquire about the condition of Muslim migrants who have settled in Abyssinia. So when Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an saw the hospitality that this man was receiving, a Muslim laughing in the company of Negus, obviously this was a difficult moment for this group of people that came, and all of them were non-Muslims. And so he looked at how they would communicate, and he said to the people, Allahu Akbar, if I have an opportunity, the first thing I will do is ask Negus to hand over Amr ibn Umayyah al-Damiri to me. And khair, this man after his meeting left Negus and they went off. And then after a few minutes, again somebody came and he says, now you can go and meet the king. So they went to Negus, and Negus asked them, "Bhai, what is your intention in Abyssinia? Why are you here?" And so they explained, and the story is that you have people who are Sabi'een, heretics, those who have a different religion from our forefathers. and they have turned away from the religion of our forefathers in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and they follow this man whose name is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So things are difficult in Makkah Mukarramah, so we come to you. And so he said, that is fine. And then he said that we have one request, that the man who came before us to you, whose name is Amr ibn Umayyah al-Damiri, this man is a difficult man, he is a Muslim, and we want you to give us access to this man so that we can apprehend him, torture him, and even kill him. Why? Because the Muslims have murdered our leaders in the Battle of Uhud and the Battle of Badr. So if you allow us, so that we can have this man and do whatever we want. When he said that to Negus, Negus got so angry, he was outraged. And in anger he slapped his face. And he said, you come to me and you say to me that you want someone who is the companion of the last messenger after Moses and after Jesus, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, do you not have any shame? Don't you know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger? And he said that, don't you know that the namus that comes, the angel, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, that comes to him, is the same Jibreel that came to Musa alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. And so this man knew the status of Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an. So Negus said to him that, let me advise you, if I was in your situation, being an Arab, I would be the first individual to accept the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, let me tell you, like how Musa alayhi salatu wa salam prevailed over the army of Fir'aun and Fir'aun himself, in a few days you will see that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions will conquer not only the whole of the Arabian Peninsula, but the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will spread throughout the world. Subhanallah. And when he said that, the words of Negus penetrated the heart of Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an. Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an was a clever man. And he said that, do you really think that he is a Nabi? And he says, of course. Then he said, give me your hands. And Negus gave him the hands. And he said, I am doing bay'ah on your hands to testify that there is no God but Allah, and that I have embraced Islam, and I take Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the last Nabi. And so he embraced Islam at the hands of Negus. Subhanallah. And he said, I am making you wakil. I am making you wakil, that you be my witness. And this was the custom, this is how the Arabs were. In any good deed, they would not waste time. Again, scholars have mentioned it is so important that when you make an intention of something that is good, a good deed that will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is better for you to announce that. It is better for you to announce that or to say that to someone who is close to you. But insha'Allah ta'ala, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do, and you be my witness. You be my witness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for that. And so these are very important etiquettes. And then Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an says that, I returned back to my group of people, and again, obviously in my heart I was a Muslim. And now very quickly I wanted to go back to Arabia, in the city of Madinatul Munawwara, to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he says that, first I got to Makkah Mukarramah. When I got to Makkah Mukarramah, as I was getting out of Makkah Mukarramah, who do I meet? I meet Hazrat Khalid bin Walid. Who do I meet? Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala. Both of them were great individuals. Now Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala and did not fear anyone. He did not know diplomacy, and he did not fear anyone. Anyone who wanted to get out of Makkah to become a Muslim would have a story, would tell a story, basically. And it was difficult. Otherwise they would be persecuted, punished. And so Amr ibn al-As was the first to greet him. Before Khalid bin Walid would greet him, he said, oh, Khalid, where are you going? So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala looked at him. I'm going to Madinah Munawwara and I've delayed too much. It's about time I embrace Islam and I want to go there to become a Muslim. So he made his intentions clear. Who was going to stop Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala? I'm going Medina Munawwara to embrace Islam. Now Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala says him, anyway, where are you going? Where are you going out of Makkah Mukarramah? So he says, are you sincere? He says, of course I'm sincere. He says, I also want to become a Muslim. I also want to become a Muslim. So now both, as Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala, go out of Makkah Mukarramah to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And scholars have mentioned that the first to meet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala. And his iman in Islam is before Hazrat Amr ibn al-As. So he came in the first meeting with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thereafter Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala an became a Muslim. So again we see Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala an, closely related and a senior sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And both of these individuals, subhanallah, played an effective role to spread Islam. From the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and throughout the Khilafat of the Khulafa'i Rashidin. That is why Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after embracing Islam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, people have become Muslims, but Amr ibn al-As has become a believer. What did he say? People have become Muslims, but Amr ibn al-As has become a believer. How dare the Shia and the Rawafis distort the truth and defame the beautiful character of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beautiful individuals. How dare anyone speak evil about Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Musa al-Ashari radiyallahu ta'ala an, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that people have become Muslims and Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an has become a believer, a powerful individual. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him as an amir of an army and had sent him to Dhatus Salasil, that battle, Dhatus Salasil. And that is why after this battle, it is said that Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala an's presence in that part of the world made the Syrian border secure. And he reinstated the Islamic Khilafat towards the Syrian border, even though it was in the control of the Romans at that time. And only later on, mashaAllah, during the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, again that entire region was conquered. In fact, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala made him an Amir and had sent him to Palestine. He went to Palestine. Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala was also the Amir of the right flank in the Battle of Yarmouk, if brothers remember. He was the Amir in the Battle of Yarmouk for the right flank, which was an important and decisive battle in Islam. So Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala an, a powerful individual. During the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, when Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an passed away, he lived in Syria. He lived in Syria. And because of him, with Hazrat Shurahbil, that entire zone, Sham, was conquered. Then came the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an wanted Hazrat Amr ibn al-As to be out from Syria and said to him that people like you should not settle anyway. And he says, what I mean is that I want you to go and conquer Egypt. I want you to go and conquer Egypt. So he came out from Syria and mashallah went into the zone of Egypt, and the entire section of Egypt was also conquered. This was the barakah of Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala. During the Khilafat of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, he was again the main consultant to Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, who were a team of shura, and he was the main man who would advise Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an. And again also after the difficulty when Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an became shaheed, obviously what he did is that he moved to Syria. And he was with Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, taken the opinion that first the rebels must be punished. So this man was not only a Sahabi, but a man of great knowledge. A man of great knowledge. For an example, one mas'ala. In one of the battles, Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala and says that in the night it was extremely cold, and all of a sudden Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala and needed to perform a farz ghusl. This is something that is quite natural. So it was extremely cold in the battlefield and he had to do farz ghusl. And so in the cold to do farz ghusl, you don't have hot water. And so what he did is that he performed the dry earth ablution. The dry earth ablution, as in tayammum. So he quickly performed tayammum and he led the people for Fajr Salah. And so some of the companions knew that Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala and had to perform farz ghusl. And he didn't do any ghusl. So what he did is that he just did tayammum. And so being an Amir, all the people prayed Salah behind him. And then when they came back to Medina Munawwara, some of the companions wanted to ask Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they said, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have this difficulty, one Salah, that Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala had to do ghusl. He didn't do ghusl, he did tayammum. And all of us prayed behind him. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Amr ibn al-As did tayammum and you prayed namaz behind him? And so he says, call Amr ibn al-As. Now this was only in the first 4 months of his Islam. This incident happened in the first 4 months of his Islam. So he was just new to Islam. But imagine the close companionship and the knowledge that had opened up to him. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Amr ibn al-As, what do I hear? That you did tayammum. Why did you do tayammum? And he said, Ya Rasulallah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُلْكُوا بِأَيْدِي وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Sorry. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and don't put yourselves to destruction, because Allah is extremely merciful. Allah says, don't put yourself to destruction, because Allah is extremely merciful. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled at him and he said, ha, bhai, ha. Yes, that is also true. Allahu Akbar. Now imagine, in the first 4 months, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is testing him in masail, in fiqh, and he's getting it right. He's getting it right. And he's quoting, these were not even mujtahideen. Sahabai kiram ajma'in are far greater than mujtahideen. You can't even say that a sahabi is a mujtahid. Subhanallah, a sahabi is a sahabi. Far greater than any other status that a person can think of. There is no other status that is higher than that status, except for Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, ha, what you have said is right. Again, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to open this matter to the companions. And so ijtihad, masail is very important. And that was, again, the point of contention between the two groups. That one wanted the laws of qisas, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was looking at it from the point of khilafat. Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was looking at it from the point of qisas. That was the difficulty. And both had their proof in the Quran, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion said to Amr ibn al-As, sent somebody and said, call Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala and to come to me immediately. Tell him to put on his clothes and to bring his weapons. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala and quickly put on his clothes, took his sword, weapons, whatever, and he came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala and says that when I came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was performing wudu. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, come and sit. And he sat with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, Amr, I am going to send you to a military expedition to jihad fi sabilillah. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, that in this military expedition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. As in, shahadat will not be given to you. You will be protected. And Allah will open up the doors of mali ghanimat, spoils of war, for you. A lot of mali ghanimat will be given to you, will be given to Islam, the Khilafat. And I am hoping that a good share will be given to you also. And I am hoping that a good share will be given to you. To that, Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an replied, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my participation in jihad is only to please Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not for wealth, not for mali ghanimat, not for any booty, spoils of war. It is only to please Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a beautiful answer. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, good, pure, halal wealth is much better in the hands of pious people. Allahu Akbar. What did he say? Good, halal wealth is much better in the hands of pious people. And if we were to talk on this subject, we would need 3-4 sessions. Allahu Akbar. That is why wealth, mashallah, within the community, the people of the kalima, is so important. And if wealth is given to people who are pious, that is barakah for this ummah. Why? A lot of the people may have the kalima inside, but they have no taqwa. And so what do they do with that wealth? That wealth will open up the doors of Jahannam for them. But if you have taqwa, that wealth will open up the doors of Jannah. Hatim Tai, somebody came to him and said that, a beggar, Hazrat, can I have 5 dirhams? Can I have 5 dirhams? So Hatim Tai said to his treasurer, that give him 5,000 dirham. Give him 5,000 dirham. Allah, the money doesn't belong to that treasurer, but he is still worried. Hazrat, he is saying 5 dirham and you are saying 5,000 dirham. Hatim Tai said that he is asking me, in accordance to his capacity, I should give to my capacity. He is asking me, to his capacity, I should give to my capacity. Then what is the capacity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the power of Allah? Where Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The treasures belong to me. The treasures belong to me. And so money that comes to good pious people is khair, mashallah, because they will give in the path of Allah. They will sponsor orphans, widows, mashallah, madaris, makatib, marakiz, Islamic institutes, mashallah, they will give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that will only attract the mercy of Allah. Only the mercy of Allah. And if it is distributed to the wrong individuals, the economy will collapse, zina will open up, alcohol will become rampant, all sorts of vice and sins will become common in the community, and that will attract the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why it's so important. A good economy would mean wealth given to the right individuals. So a lesson was given to Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala, don't think, don't shun dunya. But if dunya comes to you, that is a blessing, because what will happen? You will have an opportunity to earn a lot of reward. MashaAllah. So that is Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala. And we can continue. These were great individuals. And so a brief biography of these two great individuals has been explained, so that we understand that Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'ina, ameen, sincere people, people who were well-wishers for the welfare of the ummah, and they did not have an hidden agenda. Even when it came to this arbitration plan, all of them were sincere. Inshallah, we will continue from where we have left off in our next session. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.